good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. It is soon Christmas. Many of us remember a time when the world was not so filled with things. Indeed, just a generation ago, a Christmas gift meant an apple or an orange. Times have changed. Even in today's tough economic times, we try to make Christmas giving big, many gifts, much food. You know the emphasis of our society. We do like to have things. The more, the happier we think we are. We rationalize gifts this time of year. We bring up the memory of givers. The Magi brought gifts to Jesus when he was born in Bethlehem. Saint Nicholas attempted to provide what was needed for the poor, his generosity giving the nucleus for gift-giving at Christmas. There are stories in a variety of cultures and countries that help explain gifts and giving and the association with Christmas. And Christmas is a good time for many of us, even in economic downturns. But we know that there was a time before Christmas presents. There was a time when the world never looked rosy. The Bible tells us that there was a time when the good world of the past was forever lost. We have the story in the book of Genesis. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, lived the good life in a place called the Garden of Eden. Their secret enemy, named Lucifer, came to their home and enticed them into a secret treaty against God. Today we say that Adam and Eve really didn't know what they were getting into, but if you read the story, it's pretty clear that Adam and Eve chose to put themselves before the God who loved them. Their choice, we call it sin, changed their lives forever, and their choice changed our very DNA. That choice, in a way that we cannot understand, we have a name for it, original sin, separated us from our Creator. Mankind was evicted from the Garden of Eden, but God made a promise to Adam and Eve. The promise was that God would send a Savior, a person who would restore what was lost by Adam and Eve. The story of the Bible is the story of God's restoration plan, and Christmas was part of God's plan to redeem you and me from eternal death and separation from Him. Today's Bible reading was penned under the guidance of the Holy Spirit to the church at Rome. That church was made up of Jewish people and Gentiles. The reading comes from the last verses of Paul's letter to the Romans. Here's what Paul writes. Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith, to God alone wise be glory, through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Well, let's take these verses one at a time and see how they relate to Christmas. In verse 25, Paul writes, Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. The him is our Heavenly Father. You and I are established in our faith through our loving God. Paul affirms that his preaching and its message, called the gospel, are all according to a plan. The plan, of course, is the plan of salvation. What we understand from the Bible is that the plan of salvation began before creation, before our very world. This verse reveals that our Heavenly Father and the Son Jesus Christ knew that mankind would succumb to sin before we were even created. We were created after the plan for salvation was in place. We were created in a different mode than the rest of creation. Human beings have something called free will. Those creatures we often look up to, the angels, don't have free will. They cannot choose. We have the ability to choose. God knew from before the creation of the universe that we would make a bad choice. God chose to save us from the bad choice of sin. That is why He sent His own Son to take on human form at Christmas and become the promised Redeemer who would save you and me from our sin. Well, let's look at verses 25 and 26 together. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began, but now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all generations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for the obedience to the faith. We must discuss the Greek word mystery here. Remember, the original text was written in Greek. The sense of the Greek word is the same as our word mystery, but it has the sense that the mystery is revealed a little bit at a time until the whole thing is revealed. The idea is this. The plan of salvation of mankind, the plan that brought Jesus Christ to a manger in Bethlehem, the plan that would bring the grown Christ to the cross of Calvary to pay the price of sin, this mystery was a mystery that only now has been revealed. The Old Testament prophets had revealed part of the mystery in their day. That revelation was not just for the Jewish people, but rather for the prophets, for the people of every land and nation. Those prophets did not speak on their own authority. They spoke on God's authority. They spoke out of obedience to the command of God. God planned that the redemption of mankind would be fully understood by the time of the cross. But that very plan helps us understand why the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah when Jesus was born. It also helps us understand why the prophetess Anna and the devout old Simeon would be able to seek out and bless the baby Jesus in the temple at the time of Jesus' dedication after his human birth. It is amazing how much history and insight these three verses in Romans reveal to us. Let's look at the last verse of this lesson, verse 27. Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, now made manifest and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God, to God alone be wise, be glory through Jesus Christ our Lord, forever. Amen. Wisdom resides with God. Yes, the mystery was revealed to us little by little, but we never would have gotten the message of redemption on our own. The mystery had to be revealed to us. The revelation came through God's action, not our own. We understand that it is the Holy Spirit who reveals God's will to us, and here we see why. We don't get it without God. The manger and the baby and Mary and Joseph, all of it would have been lost on us, except that God chose to reveal it to us through his wisdom. Now get this last part. God is glorified through Jesus Christ. The verse says, to God alone, wise, be glory through Jesus Christ. That happened at Christmas and through the entire life of Christ. And that continues to happen now and through eternity, as the verse says, forever. Amen. As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Now for Christmas! On Christmas Eve at 6 p.m., we will welcome the Christ Child at our candlelight service. That's December 24th at 6 p.m. Lots of singing and joy. Why not plan to join us for this early evening service? Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Charala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Charala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.